Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. This is a special day. If you listen often enough, you know one of our favorite guests is Dr. Troy. We call it a monthly edition, Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Well, what makes today especially special, I just made up a phrase, especially special.
Like,
thank you very much, is that we have a live studio audience, and they're looking fantastic. Thank you so much. You should just see the crowd. They're just lovely. So instead of taking calls today, we're actually going to take questions from our live studio audience, and we have a backlog of email questions that are about 15 pages long. So we're not going to be lacking questions by any stretch of the imagination. I want to tell you about our esteemed guest, though I don't think he needs an introduction. We'll get these questions going right away. Dr. Troy Sperl is CEO and founder of Synapse Center for Health and Healing. He travels extensively conducting seminars on disease prevention and healing through a faith-filled, healthy lifestyle. His mission is to impact the well-being of people around the world by providing solutions to complicated life issues and to create sanctuaries that promote the restoration and perpetuation of health, happiness, and prosperity. Dr. Troy's company is located in Eagan, Minnesota. We're so honored to have him with us today. Welcome, Dr. Troy.
Thank you for having me again.
Say it's really amazing he doesn't have a big head because of all the ways that God uses him, but he really doesn't have a big head. He surrounds himself with head poppers, don't you?
Yeah. A lot of people keep me nice and humble, trust me.
Super glad to have you with us. Well, as you know, you've been on so many times, we like to start off by talking scripture and wondering what verse is on your heart these days.
Well, today we're going to be talking about fear and what that really looks like. So I went with Proverbs 19:23. Furthermore, fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord leads you to life, rest, peace, and contentment. Mm. And for me, that there's layers to that because there's a key word in that really is what I see that a lot with the people that we walk them through their health journey. They're the word lead, and it's not just a single event most of the time. There's a process in that, and there's different types of fear. And fear of the Lord is actually a really good thing. There's a lot of value. Fear is actually a good thing for us if it's the right type of fear. So I want to dive into that a little bit and as far as what that looks like and define the good and the bad fear, what we're meant to fear that's healthy for us and what we're not meant to fear, the stuff that really causes us to cave in on ourselves and stops us from being the person that God wants us to be. So this one statement, just fear of the Lord leads to life. It's just so powerful as far as what that looks like when people are walking that walk. But I also want people to really hear how hard that is and what we're up against all the time when it comes to fear. Just knowing a little bit about what that looks like in your daily routine can help you with discernment on what is what when it comes to fear. And knowing that just helps us be in the Word and take it on and also discern, wait a second, that's not from God. That's not what God wants me to fear.
And that's not what he sounds like.
And that's not what he sounds like. Mm-hmm. And when we start to look at that in our own lives, I cannot tell you the healing that occurs when fear is dealt with properly.
In case you're wondering, why do we start with such a nice light topic like fear? That was actually my idea. But because I really feel like fear is happening in epidemic proportions right now. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, it's just the enemy's assault right now on many, many levels. So we just want to talk about the physiological implications, emotional, the spiritual implications of fear, and that we're not left powerless over fear. Remember what the passage of scripture says, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. But man, as someone who has struggled my whole life with different levels of fear, it is work. But when you contend for it, I mean, freedom happens. So let's start with this. What changes in our body when we get into a place of fear?
Well, there's a lot of physiological things that happen, and so we have these laws that occur physiologically. So God made us in such a way that certain things will start off, and there's a chain reaction that occurs with fear, where there's some type of trigger or impulse or something along those lines, and it ends up with a process that leads to some chemical and neurologic reactions. Now, the first thing, just to give you a little visual, think of a frightened child, a child that's really scared. They're going to fold over in the corner in the room and be afraid. I want you to have that image in your mind because what happens physiologically with our cells is that they literally fold over on themselves. And each cell in our body has a purpose. And when a cell folds over on itself, all of a sudden it's not doing what it was meant to do, and we can't get the minerals to flow into the cell. So when people are in a state of fear, chronic fear, we literally see problems with their cells being able to accept nutrients, to be able to accept the good that God has put on this earth for us to nourish and nurture our cells. So we see this folding over of our cells, which happens in a pretty standard state right away, and then it goes away unless you live in that all the time. And what they found was, in Stanford University, they found that people who lived in a state of fear, their cells literally folded over. People who lived in a state of love, their cells were wide open. And so all these people that were in this state of love, they accepted the nutrients, they accepted the oxygen, the energy, life-giving, everything that's been put out in front of us all the time. And so this life, we're surrounded by all of these challenges that pull us away from love and closer to fear. And so physiologically,
how destructive that very is destructive. On our bodies.
Yes, yeah. And then when you're in this fear mode, you generally don't make good choices, yes? We generally don't make good choices.
I'm my best self when I'm afraid. No, I'm just kidding.
So we start to then make choices which take us down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. And people have to fight to get away from that. And so that fear component really affects us physiologically at a cellular level. But also the chain reaction that happens. I'm going to say it a different way. And if you've listened to the show, I've probably said this 100 times. I've had people come in and say, repeat this back to me verbatim, which means, holy smokes, you're listening. So I better be careful what I say, yeah, number exactly. One. But it's good. People, when they have fear, it enters into what's called a fight or flight response. And in the beginning, that's good. Because if a tiger's chasing you, I'm going to say fear is an appropriate way to respond right away. But you also need to be in your right state of mind when you are being chased by that tiger. And so God wants you to experience that fear, but not live in it. And so he really wants you to say, there's a tiger, there's danger, I need to get out of here. Here's your full faculties to make the best choices right now to get away. But when we live in that fear, basically we're having what's called a fight or flight response. And when you have that fight or flight response, your brain starts sending signals to your arms and your legs so you can flee or you can fight. And I always say this, if those of you who have come to the clinic or anything, you know I say the same jokes over and over and over again, so it never changes.
It's good to laugh, though.
Yes, still laugh. I have my staff laughs all the time, so I love them for that because they've heard the same joke now for 15 years. But people, when you're being chased by a tiger, it's not a good time to sit down and have lunch or take a nap, right? So our brain does not support those systems. We're either in fight or flight or rest and digest. And so the more chronic fear you're in, you're going to start to see problems with people with sleep, being able to stay asleep, get asleep, or feel restored each and every morning. You're going to start seeing people having trouble with digestive symptoms, where all kinds of irregularities start to occur. And the conversation there is a hundredfold. It's basically a lot of us in our current lifestyle have or know someone with digestive disorders. It's one of my favorite things to do when I'm in front of a live audience is ask how many people know someone with a digestive disorder. And so many people will say, well, I don't, but I know
my
someone.
Friend.
Yeah, my friend has, you know, we're good friends. We're real close.
Yes. My friend has some issues.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
So we see that it's pretty common. Mm-hmm. So when you start to really get a handle on the fight or flight versus rest and digest conversation, you can start to see how many people are being impacted by fear. Now, one of the strangest places I learned about fear was in the business world. When I looked at and was part of groups that would start to look at the successes and failures of their lives, they boiled it down to one common denominator, is that the people who were not successful caved into their fears.
Wow.
That was it. And the most successful people became comfortable with the uncomfortableness of life. And part of that is fear. And with our faith, we know how to apply it. God breaks that down for us. And so fear is a natural thing. You're going to be exposed to it. But it's, number one, recognizing what type of fear it is, and then what do you do with that afterwards? That's the difference maker. And you know what? Successful people, whether it's their health or their relationships or business, they get knocked down. but they get up again. And so that's I think there's a song like that. I'm not sure, but if not, someone should make a song.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you've heard this on the show before, so forgive me if you've heard it a few times, but Dr. Troy, as well as Dr. Kurt Thompson and several other brain experts have all said that our brains have two motivational fuels, love and fear. And isn't it amazing how God has wired us? Two motivational fuels. We're either motivated by love or we're motivated by fear. And then you go back to the scripture that there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. I mean, is it any wonder that that enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy? And that's why Jesus says, I've come to destroy the works of the devil. And it is just such a passion of mine that we don't wait for heaven to conquer some of this stuff. We got to contend for the love and the faith and the hope so we can flourish and so that others can flourish who are in our sphere of influence.
Yeah, that's why we're here. As Christians, that's why we're here, to impact people, because you're bombarded by that all mm-hmm. the time. It's where we are. But if you know that, that helps you take that next step forward. Mm. And so for me, the fear component is a big part to healing. I recognized at a certain point when I was working with people, I started working with them physically and got some results, but then all of a sudden certain people wouldn't get better. So we started looking at what happens when we change their diet, when we change their lifestyle, and started working on the chemistry of the hormones. More people started getting better. Then all of a sudden emotions came into play and we started looking at, okay, what do we do with that? And recognized pretty early on, there wasn't a lot out there in the healthcare field to help people with their emotions. So that's what led me down the path of these emotions need to be addressed. And once we started working with them, we started to see some pretty miraculous changes and healings with how people would start to recover. Their healing improved. Mental, chemical, and physical. They all come together. And the mental part of it is our emotions and what are we doing with those emotions, because they are as important as everything else. And if you look at our healthcare field, we don't really do a lot with that. We try and cover it up. And God's not very much on board with covering things up.
Exactly.
That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. We're going to pause and take a break here. We're going to continue this conversation on fear. I thought it was so interesting. One of the last times that you were on and you talked about chronic illness like fibromyalgia, and you said 100% of the time, it's all three of the health triad. It's physical, it's chemical, it's emotional. Did
every
I get
time.
That right? Yep,
yes.
Every time. Absolutely amazing. So we're going to continue talking about fear for just a bit. Then we'll start opening it up to questions. And maybe you've got a question about fear. We'd love to take that as well. Promise not to identify your city or anything where you're from. So you can be anonymous if you'd like. But we are taking a break. It is Health and Healing with Dr. Troy on Live the Promise today. So glad to have you with us. We'll be back in a minute. Another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy, but this time we're doing it before a live studio audience, so we just got to let you hear from them one more time. So glad that you're tuning in, because we've got great conversation up ahead, just talking about the different components of health, because God wants us to flourish. So Dr. Troy, we kicked off the show today talking a bit about fear. In fact, we're going to take a few audience questions in a moment about the issue of fear. And before the break, you were talking about some of the physiological impacts of fear. I want you to talk about things that we can do maybe on a daily basis that either prevent fear or invite fear. I mean, what are some maybe bad habits or good habits that you want to address?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think to start with that first, I want to break down fear a little bit, because in the medical world, there is two types of fear. There's the biochemical fear and the emotional fear. The biochemical is universal. It's basically reflexive. All of us just have it, no matter what. But the emotional fear, we have more control over. But biblically, we see a difference there. There's a fear that's beneficial and one that's detrimental. So the beneficial fear is the fear of the Lord. The detrimental fear really is what we see with this other scenario within the scientific. It's meant to be overcome. And so I have a little passage here too. It's 2 Timothy where it talks about that. And so I rely on this one quite a bit as far as the detrimental side of it. So I want to really discern between those two things. overcoming is, it's really a spirit of fear that we're meant to overcome. So in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And that's what we need to identify. Is this a spirit of fear, or is this fear of the Lord? And that's biblically, that will address everything, because the first two come from the detrimental fear. Even the universal one, that's automatic. It gets triggered because we grow up and we learn that from our environment. And so knowing that, is this beneficial or not beneficial, really, really helps. So identifying it is the first step.
Quick question before we take a couple of these audience questions. There are trauma fears, you know, things that have been embedded in our history where something reminiscent triggers it, and we, it gets a big response from us, even physiological sometimes before our emotions or our mind even catches up. Do you know what I'm saying? Where we just, we feel it before we even think it almost. And then there are those, you know, someone said fear is an acronym for false evidence appearing real, where because of maybe past traumas, we can imagine the worst case scenario, catastrophize, and get into a place of fear of things that aren't even reasonable.
Yes, there's a triggering mechanism. And the best example of that is post-traumatic stress disorder, where someone gets triggered and they have a stress response. And it can be something very, very simple. If you were abused by a gentleman named Steve, I'm actually not going to call him a gentleman, I'll say Steve, and you're abused by Steve, and then 10, 15 years later, you're working with someone named Steve. Now, our brain and body work in such a way that memories are stored. And even though this Steve that you're now working with may have, he may be the nicest guy, he may be very supportive, but you can't talk around him. You find that you're stumbling on your words. Things just don't quite feel right. It may have absolutely nothing to do with this Steve and everything to do with the previous Steve. And so we have these memories that are internal to us that can be brought out, and we get triggered. And many people don't know that they're walking around getting triggered. Years ago, I mentioned, I think the first time I was on your show, we had a patient brought in from Germany, and he had locked-in syndrome, and he was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and we had to reset a lot of how his brain was interpreting the information. So to minimize his triggers, and it can be done. It can be done through our faith, and prayer, and it can also be done physiologically and improving that. So I want everyone to know that if we did the clinical studies, we found that pretty much everyone is walking around with mild forms of post-traumatic stress disorder.
Isn't that interesting?
We're just, wow. we're little things
You're
will
not
set
alone.
Us off.
I want you to know.
Yeah, no
anyway.
One's alone with this. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing I wish. I wish people could see what we see on a daily basis, because they would know, number one, I'm unique, but I am not alone with what I'm going through. And I can't believe how common it is for people to feel the way I feel right now. And people don't know that. They don't know that they're not the only ones going through this. And so that fear, a lot of it comes when we're really, really young. And then we develop these memories and they get laid down solid. And we call them self-limiting beliefs, a lot of them. And we have all these memories in our body. They can be stored in any cell, and that can start the whole process. So we have people who have been in car accidents that just by moving their body in a certain direction can start to trigger a response and have an emotional or digestive response from it. We have a word that someone may hear that was repeated by an abusive parent or something like that. Or it doesn't even matter if the abuse was abuse as we define it. It's all about the child's perception.
Some kind of trauma, right?
Yes. And remember, when you're a child and you ask for that lollipop and you say no, guess what? That's traumatic. It absolutely is. One of the best results we ever had was by working on a gentleman who had separation anxiety disorder who had this thing with balloons. And we eventually figured out that at the state fair, funny timing, state fair is going on right now in Minnesota. At the state fair, he got separated at 3 years of age from his parents chasing the balloon that got away.
Oh, my goodness.
And then it manifested as a separation anxiety disorder in his late 20s where he couldn't leave his apartment. And so once that was dealt with and acknowledged, then all of a sudden he started to heal again. And so we start to see these memories are laid down in our body, and getting in to look at them is very, very important. And the more aware you are of what's going on with your health, the more you can start to identify them. Now, we don't want you to live in there constantly searching for, there's got to be something emotionally wrong with me. There's got to be something emotionally wrong with me. A lot of times it's physical. So you work on yourself mentally, chemically, physically, and spiritually, and it will become unraveled to you. You'll be able to see Amazing. That path. And mm-hmm. so that's a big, big part of it. We are constantly getting triggered. And the way I say it a lot of times, it's kind of like driving your car in traffic. You got one foot on the gas and one foot on the brake. And just the wear and tear on the vehicle at that time is really hard. You got one part of your brain saying, go, go, go. And another part saying, stop, stop, stop. And so we're constantly fighting ourselves. And we feel that as a little bit of inner conflict. And we don't know why. And many times it's because we've been triggered by life. And a lot of times as you become right with God, the unrighteous starts to become an annoyance, or you don't know why that's bugging you now. Well, if you're part of the light, you don't really like darkness as much anymore. And so we start to see a lot of challenges. And as people are brought from darkness to light, they don't necessarily want to go back. And so with the way we live our lives, it's rare for people to be taught to properly manage their emotions from the age of 3 on up. It just doesn't happen all that well.
And I would say often, I would guess that when you have some of these things that you've never resolved, there's parts of your growth and maturity and capacity that kind of get stunted until you revisit some of those things, right?
Absolutely. We see this, the best example of that again is people who become addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. Anyone who has become addicted to heroin generally does not mature beyond the year they started the heroin. Whether it would be 14, unfortunately we have 14-year-olds with that addiction, or 40 years old. Same thing emotionally stunted. If there are things that we are not working on or do not resolve, we will not move past that. And we know this. A lot of times we can see it with everyone else. It's hard to see in ourselves, but you see the person making the same mistake over and over and over again. They look and they didn't have a good relationship. They chose that guy. And then they work on themselves for 2 years and they go back and then they choose that guy. Different name, same guy. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So everyone is on the air. The audience is nodding yes. Yeah. Not a great, don't do visuals on radio,
exactly.
Troy. So we see the people repeating those mistakes a lot of times. And the reality is the first thing you do, you asked, what can we do at home? The first thing is have awareness about who you are and possible triggers. And we need to start to identify the triggers. And the triggers can be mental, chemical, or physical. It doesn't matter. It's not just mental. So chemical foods can trigger that, inflammatory reactions, all kinds of things.
We're going to pause here and take a break, and I know we've got a number of audience questions, but this is such a fascinating topic. You can tell we could take the whole hour easily. We've got Doc for both hours, actually. This is Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. We're going to break, but we will be back in just a moment. Studio audience, and it's another edition of Health and Healing with Dr. Troy. Doc, I think we should do this every month with friends every month, don't you?
Yeah, I love it.
This is a blast.
Yeah, this is great.
Yes, so great. So because we've got such a massive, awesome audience, we're not taking calls today. We are opening the show talking fear. I know we've got a few questions in the audience, but you wanted to finish. One of the questions we asked before the break was, what are some things that we can do on a daily basis? One that would either prevent this fear, fight, flight, or one that enables it? What are just some practical takeaways?
Yeah, other than just having the awareness, one of the main areas of our brain that deals with all memory, emotional memory, muscle memory, is our cerebellum. And a key chemical in that is GABA. It's the anti-worrying brain chemical. And when we don't have enough of that, our creative brain starts to think about what could happen, and then that triggers a fear response. So I really want people to know that the three main areas of our life that can impact that to make that brain chemical are problems with blood sugar and insulin, cortisol, so all kinds of just stress. Stress can lead to fear, blood sugar imbalances, and you don't have to be a diabetic to have the blood sugar imbalances, and insulin imbalances. Those three chemicals, blood sugar, cortisol, and insulin, need to be in balance to properly make the chemical that balances your memory. All memory. So when we start to get out of balance with that, people can start to become more fearful. So our kids are consuming way too much sugar. and there's too much stress. And so we're creating an environment for them to become fearful with that in their diet. That's the first and most important thing. And they've got to sleep. So when you don't have a good sleep pattern, when you have too much electronics at nighttime and their sleep is interrupted, you're creating an environment for cortisol to be released in the middle of the nighttime instead of a nice restorative sleep. So just making sure we're getting good sleep. And good sleep, I'm going to say this, you should remember your dreams and you should wake up feeling refreshed. You don't have to remember every dream, but that's very, very important. So check in with your child, check in with your spouse. Do they remember their dreams? Does your spouse wake you up in the middle of the night because of snoring? Then there's something not right there. Sleep apnea is one of 100 sleep disorders. And so just making sure we stick to the basics of good sleep and watch the blood sugar, those two things alone will help. It's not just the conversations. When we talk, when we share our testimony, when we start to talk to individuals, to our kids, to our spouses, and get that off our chest, we feel better. That decreases your cortisol. So speaking with someone with the intention of getting it off your chest is good, but not if you keep revisiting it. Mm. So you are meant to speak it with the intention of healing it.
Casting it. Oh,
casting
I love that.
It out. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's
and
good.
Not keep living in that. If you keep living in that, you yourself are now, with your own words, creating the dramatic situation that's causing the stress, and your insulin will go down, your cortisol will go up. So just because someone did something and our life is stressful because of that, many times they've started that process and we keep it going based on having the same conversation over and over and over again.
Amazing.
And I talk with my kids all the time. I say, it's okay. We're imperfect. And I want you to know you're imperfect. God loves you anyway. He absolutely adores you. It's the type of love you don't even know. It's okay to make a mistake, but I want you to learn from that mistake. And that's a huge, huge part of our life, and they don't really get that until they get that. Mm-hmm. Just had a conversation with my 19-year-old who was on air here with you recently.
And he was brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yep, just ask him. same thing. He said, you know, I've always heard you say that, but I didn't get it until I failed at some things last year. We had a conversation about what worked, what didn't work. What can we do better this year? Mm-hmm. And so he didn't get it until he failed at some stuff. He said, Dad, that's a lot harder. He goes, don't they have like a roadmap for life or something like that? Don't they have
the
like
Bible.
An instruction manual? Exactly. So that's part of the learning curve mm-hmm. and process. So just keep those things. Good sleep. Just watch the sugar and then manage the stress. And the stress can be managed a lot with guarding your thoughts, making sure you're not reliving the stressors that other people may have started or having the conversations with people that help you come through that. Because there are people in life that enable you and they're good people. A lot of them are. But if they don't ever help you walk through something, then they're not serving you. And what we see is when you're in stress, we crave two things, salt and sugar. And the more unbalanced the sugar is, the more our memory becomes an issue. And then the more we lose GABA, the more we worry. And worry is a misuse of your imagination. You're using your creative brain to start to think about what might happen, not what is happening.
I love that. Worry is a misuse of your imagination. One quick thing before we get to our audience. One thing you said a few shows ago, too, is, and this is maybe another show, but just entertainment, that our brain doesn't know the difference between a traumatic scene on TV or in the movies than actually living through it. I mean, it's like our brain reacts in the same way. And since I'm not a doctor, but I play one on radio, enough said about that. Okay, we've got some audience questions we'd love to take. Hey, friend.
I'm a licensed psychologist, though I kind of live in that world. And I'm just wondering if there are some non-drugs that anxious people and depressed people could be doing and instead of taking, you know, the SSRs.
Travacor.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Not that I have personal experience. Keep going.
Thanks, Doc.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. And when SSRIs are not working, that's serotonin. And so serotonin helps a lot. It's the happy brain chemical. GABA is really where you want to play with them, the anti-worrying. And so there's a lot of things that help instantly. Do not take pure GABA. When you take GABA, cannot cross the blood-brain barrier. So if you take GABA and you feel more calm and relaxed, that's kind of not a good thing. It means you have something called leaky brain, which, I mean, am I wrong? Does that not sound good?
Okay, we're afraid of something brand new now.
Yeah, sorry. All my fearful people are like, oh,
thank
no, I've
so
got
much.
Leaky brain. So it's one of those things where anxiety, we want to work through GABA and the other systems. So there are many, many things out there. Travacor is a product you mentioned, Trancor. They all do the same thing. They help us balance our GABA by giving the amino acids to the person to help make up more GABA. So the more we can decrease our chemical stress. So when you have these other stressors, we get tremendous amount of results from helping with the actual digestive system. So in functional medicine, when they look at someone with anxiety, depression, that's not responding to serotonin, we first clean up their digestive tract. Number one, the majority of serotonin is made in your digestive tract. And so that can release more. But number two, it starts to tell us that there's problems elsewhere. And generally speaking, now I don't know if I should go into this, but there's four. B6 is something that helps when there's adrenal stress, zinc and copper balancing, because many people who don't respond to SSRIs have an imbalance with their zinc and copper. And so you want to make sure that becomes balanced. And then there's a process called methylation in the body, and you have to help the methylators. A lot of those are B vitamins, B shots. A lot of that is converted properly in the digestive tract. So by fixing the digestive system, you can improve three of those four scenarios. And we know if people have an absolutely negative reaction to SSRIs, that's a good sign that they need help with their methylation. So we have all these clues, but to answer it a little differently, yes, there's definitely stuff you can do, but it depends on the uniqueness of the chemical individuality of that person and how well are they doing with the blood sugar, insulin, and cortisol part of their life.
Excellent. Another question coming up here.
Right. I have a question. So I have a relative who was abused as a child, and it's like hard-coded in her that she just has fear of failure no matter what is in front of her. So she works, but every day is a struggle, and she doesn't reach out in any other way.
Yeah. So when I talk about spirit of fear, so that's a great question because she is not alone. And spirit, there's a range of fear. There is the paralyzing phobias where we absolutely, they can't move, they can't leave, they're paralyzed. And then there's the actual reflexive inhibitory fears where you can tell something happened or I'm a little nervous to get up and talk in front of Susie or something like that. We have those levels of fears where there's fear, but we can kind of do it anyway. So the paralyzing fear is more of what you're talking about. There was a true phobia. Now, the area of the brain that we're talking about is called the amygdala. The amygdala is where fear actually goes in. I want you to really hear this. There is a physical way to measure fear. There is a beginning and end when it comes to fear. So for her, it may be paralyzing, but it's only because the entirety of the fear has not been addressed. When it happens at a young age and it's that deep-seated, deep-rooted, it means that much more needs to come over to change and correct the problem. So with the amygdala, it affects our body very, very big. We basically, amygdala is like someone who's very boring and not very exciting doing this program versus Susie Larson. Someone who's over the top. I mean, if for the people on the radio, Susie dances all the time when we're on the radio. So to the point where I literally have to go home and talk to my wife and say, honey, I need to work my dance moves because I got to do something to keep up with her. So my point here is there's an end to that. There's so much fear that gets triggered through that part of the brain and the memory is stored in the different cells, but there's a finite end to that. And so she...
So are you saying like there's edges around this that there actually
yes,
is...
Yes, so you have to replace it. So the amygdala will take... It's not just fear. It's all other emotions too will go through that. And so... And then spreads out to the rest of the body. So you have to replace... Let's say there's 1,000 units of fear. Sorry, I'm going all male.
No, it's
here.
Interesting.
Okay, there's
1,000
units of fear. And she tries one thing. And that's one unit. So she was close, but she's 999 units short of actually making the change to get over that fear. So it takes a lot of repetition. It takes going at it from different angles, and it takes a lot of consistency on working on that and through that. And so you'll need people who do talk therapy. You'll need to change the digestive system. You want to get it from multiple angles until you can start to get through that. The problem is it's hard to measure. And so the reasons why a lot of people in functional medicine have had some success with that, or really stubborn therapists and doctors, it's because they take them through the finality of the whole process until they get that 1,000 units. If I told you she had to do something 1,000 times and then it'll be gone, guaranteed, she would do it 1,000 times. So the challenge is figuring out what is it that she needs to do with her diet, with her mindset, and with her physical body, and how often does she need to do it. And we've learned this over time, that we look and see and measure people's progress. And when people plateau, it means that you have to look at what you're missing. And I guarantee you this, we're always missing something, us doctors. We're imperfect as well. And the reason why they call it practice, it's because we're practicing, right?
That's comforting.
Yes. It's true. I actually don't know what to say to that.
Awkward.
Yeah. The last time I'm on the show.
This is actually a perfect time to break. We're going to take our last break of this hour. And I know we've got a few more audience questions when we come back on the topic of fear. And then for hour two, I think we'll just open it up to general questions. I know we've got lots of friends with lots of great questions. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Our very esteemed guest is Dr. Troy. More with him when we come back.
He started something good, and I'm gonna believe it.
Come on, just a little bit. That's perfect. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm so glad to have you listening. I'm Susie Larson. I know the show sounds a little different today because we are doing it before a live studio audience, having such a fantastic time. We are taking some audience questions. We've spent most of this first hour talking on issues of fear. We've got a couple of audience questions. We've got one from the back here. Thanks for tuning in, or actually, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Yeah. You know, the way the mind thinks, the cognitive approach to it. So we think, and in the scriptures and Proverbs, it says, so as a man thinketh, he becomes in his heart. And then Romans 12 talks about the fact that we need to renew our mind daily, right? And so there's a practical side to trying to approach the problems. And so as a Christ follower, there's two sides to this approach. There's the secular side, which would say, hey, be mindful, cognitive behavior therapy. The other part would say that the Bible was sufficient, and we just need to stay in the Word and inform ourselves with the Word. Now, when we're looking at this, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, that is a loaded question. I love it. So because as a Christian, number one, I want everyone here to know, and everyone online to know, I am 100% okay with being put out of work. 100%. If I never had to work as someone in the healthcare field again, I'm game for that. So the reality is how God has used me is in the healthcare field. And I believe that we have, and what I've seen is that God, I know God can perform miracles. We've seen them. We know that can happen. But they're not, everyone thinks of a miracle as that instantaneous healing. But I would not be the Christian and Christ follower I am today if he had not worked on me and through me by working on people and through them as well. Mm-hmm. And so the Bible is the biggest tool in my toolbox that he has armed me with, and I use it. And it saves me so much time when I work with believers on the other side of the walk, because they know the Word, but then it's just like if you guys have read the Bible and then you go back to it and you read it again and there's a layer to it, you're like, holy cow. Well, it's the same thing with what we do in the healthcare field. And so I truly thought that the Bible, you know, was it. I've got the answer, and I was even preparing to not have to practice anymore. And then that's not what happened. And so, for me, there are layers to how the Bible works and how they work through me. So I believe that for us to really become the Christ followers that God wants us to be, we have to have all of this junk around us. And the Bible is the big tool in our toolbox, but there's other things to work on. There are physical laws that he has put in place that he could break at any time, like gravity. But gravity is always there. God can break that. Jesus walked on water, but I haven't. And so for me, I look at those laws, work within that. And when we do get success, I know who to give the glory to. And yeah, yeah. I'll clap on that for sure. Yes.
One other thing I'd love to add to that is I told you a friend of mine, an author friend of mine, wrote about when it talks about in Scripture, the gifts, different gifts. And I think it's 1 Corinthians, and there's the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. And they're two different things. And she thought that was curious. So she did a deep dive on what those were about. And the gift of miracles is the sudden bodily phenomena, where the gift of healing is a process. And so many of us, I know I've needed the process, because mixed in with my health battle were emotional, you know, issues, fears, traumas, all kinds of stuff. I was a tangled mess, and God had to untangle it. And so, but when coming through it, it's no less of a miracle. It's just been a process. But when I look at it that way, and people have the gifts of healing and the gifts of miracles, I look at people like Dr. Troy with a gift of healing and miracles. God's given him, I think, a supernatural capacity to understand mind, body, spirit. Our doctors, our counselors, to me, pastors, you know, I mean, mentors have gifts to help administer healing to us. And we need community. We need each other. And you know, I just remember when I, 20-something years ago, walked through a depression, a mild depression for about a year, and I was so anti, because I'm health conscious, so anti antidepressant. They wanted to put me on a tiny little dose, and I'm like, I can't do it. And she's like, okay, you have two sons with asthma. You just, why don't you just tell them to think positive? You know, we'll just skip the inhaler. Let's just tell them to think positive, you know. She said, you would not do that to your sons. She said, you know, give yourself a little bit of a break here. And some of these things are gifts to us. So I just think if we can humble ourselves and say, golly, God's given us all of these resources. Let's use them to help us get well and flourish, you know.
Yeah, and you're a perfect example, because your process has actually helped a lot of people. You're forgetting a gift that you have. You have a gift of gab. Right?
Gab. Did my husband talk to you?
He may have whispered a little bit. No. Okay. But by you sharing your testimony, being that vulnerable, open, and raw with people, you've impacted many, many people. Some of them were not believers and are now believers. And so he uses people that way. So if everyone just got a miracle, what is in it? Where's the learning for us? Where's
what
the anything?
What changes in your character even?
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's grab this question before we wrap. We've got about 6 minutes to wrap this hour. I'd love to hear from you.
Hey, last semester in my integrative human physiology class, we learned a lot about the SAM and HPA pathways. And we talked a lot about how they can start from either the top or the bottom and be affected. So we talked a lot about how carbs and fats, and how you can start with your diet, and how it can affect how you deal with fear and living in fear constantly throughout the day. So is there any more that you can kind of add to that?
First, I'd love for you to interpret his question. Yeah. I would love to know what you're talking
actually,
about.
Actually, so what he's talking about is exactly what I was just saying before as far as the methylation pathway. So SAMe and the methylation, that's the methylation. What he's talking about is the methylation pathways right there. Mm. So I'm really happy they're teaching that, number one. But what he's talking about is how that influences fear and our overall behavior. And the different supplements and vitamins that go into that are B12 and folic acid, the B vitamins. And so there are some genetic things that occur where we're not all genetically equal. And so we have differences. And so some people can't convert folic acid as well. So they need a different form. When we have stress, we actually can produce more stomach acid, or less stomach acid actually is more common. And we need that stomach acid to absorb B12. And if we're not getting that, we start to see a change in those pathways. How it starts to manifest is methylation. Now, this is, generally speaking, that same pathway can cause anxiety, depression, fear. But in the other individual with certain genetic predispositions, heart disease. If you've ever heard of these 21-year-old, 22-year-old basketball players that dropped out of a heart attack on the basketball court, it's usually because of a buildup of homocysteine. And SAMe is one of the precursors for that chemical. So it keeps that homocysteine from building up too much and the person having a heart attack. So to expand a little bit more on that, it kind of boils down to the other stuff I was talking about. We have seen sometimes you have to get specific vitamins, SAMe, folic acid, B12, into their body as quickly as possible. But the long-term solution is repairing the digestive system, bringing that back into balance. But then we look at what's causing problems with the digestive system. A lot of times it's stress, fear, eating food that's bad for us. So there's a huge cycle that people get trapped in, and that is the majority of people that come in. So what I would say too is, as you learn those pathways, look at the individual pathways, but then also step back and look at, okay, now what does this look like in life? How does that show up in life? And that's what we're talking about. So if you're fortunate enough to learn that part of it, then also take your other knowledge from life experiences and say, this is what it actually looks like in life. And then that's our world of functional medicine. So love that question.
Boy, fantastic. I think we could squeeze in another question if we've got another one before the end of the show here. I mean, the end of the top of the hour. I know we've got one. Somebody's got a question. Awkward silence. Okay. All right. There we go. No pressure, but thank you.
So I'm wondering about adrenal fatigue. It seems like that would fit in with the fear factor.
Yeah, so adrenal fatigue is something when you have long-term fear, we start to see the adrenal glands, which is the stress glands, start to have more of a demand on them. So we are meant to, like we say, we have fear, and it's in the short term, it will release adrenaline. When you have long-term fear, we start to release a different hormone called cortisol. And so back in Jesus' time, again, if our life's in danger, you would release adrenaline. And it would allow you to run and flee or fight like David. And so, David and Jesus weren't there at the same time,
yeah,
but you guys know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to get an email saying, he did not know his Bible.
I'll take it.
Okay. Yes. So it's important to know that we've got the fight or flight part of that, and that should be temporary. But back in Jesus' time, we really only released the cortisol during things like famine. And so when there's a famine, cortisol will cause more fat deposition around our organs. So long-term stress, we release that cortisol. And so they're released from different parts of the adrenal gland. And so adrenal fatigue really is an overuse or an overburdening of that gland because you're requiring a lot more cortisol or adrenaline being released from it. And in the traditional medical world, if you talk about adrenal fatigue, they won't quite... it's not the same conversation because you can only live 5 minutes without your adrenals. So when they say adrenal fatigue, they think you're talking about a tumor induced syndrome where death is likely.
Or failure, something like that.
So just keep in mind that there's a difference between what we're talking about here and traditional medicine, because I don't want that language barrier to stop you, because they're right. The medical doctor's right when he says, no, you don't, your adrenals are fine. But there's actually a process where there's more... load that's put on that. And we see that with menopause, when the ovaries stop producing as much and the adrenals have to take on more. And then we start to see insulin become affected. So it's mental, chemical, and physical stress. More stress, crave sugar, insulin becomes challenged, and then adrenals start to decline.
There's so much more we can say about adrenal fatigue, and there's so much. It's so interesting how God's wired us and how we can recover. So how do you know if you're stage one, two? Plus, we'll take a lot of other general questions on the other side. So we are wrapping up hour one. I'm Susie Larson from The Promise with a live studio audience, and we are on Facebook Live. We've got friends checking in from British Columbia, from Washington State. Hope you stay tuned. Another great hour of conversation up ahead.